Hello, everyone. Welcome. And today is Monday, January 22nd, 2024. I am Solid Blue Sister, a little late. And this is my turn to talk. As always, I hope everyone's having a wonderful day, and whatever platform you're listening, be it live or on the replay, thank you and welcome. Much appreciated. Day. It is a rainy day here in sunny Southern California, but it's a good day. Rainy day, but a good day. Hello, April Diamond. Welcome, welcome. AKA Hey, Peter Frankie, how are you? All Slayer, welcome. And Shorty Shorty, welcome. Downloaded a new one, so I'm gonna have to see what I have, but that's on my list. And I do take requests. Let's get started. And Shorty, you changed your picture again. I like it. Hey, Ace, welcome, welcome. Wow, you're here at the beginning today. Welcome, welcome. Okay, y'all. So old school. Let's talk a little old school. Should children introduce people they're in a relationship to their parents? Should a man or men ask, you know, a girl's father or parents for their hand in marriage? Should men open doors for women? And I can keep going on and on and on. but you guys get my drift. I personally say yes, 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 and yes. I am old school. My husband did ask my father. He called my father and asked him for my hand in marriage. And then he talked to my mother. My brother-in-law did the same thing. I am teaching my son to open car doors and doors and pull out chairs, what have you. Because I'm old school. I just think that you should do that. I think men should do that. So is that old fashioned? Is it silly? Do people, you know, not take the time out to do that anymore? You got a snow day. I miss those snow days. We don't get those here. You know, so hey, Minnesota and Edward. I cannot pronounce the last name, but welcome. Let's see, the chivalrous mentality, Brina likes. I'm glad you're teaching your son that. You know, I, you know, it sounds silly, but I like when you know, if my husband and I are going someplace and we're going out to the car, or the, you know, the car's in the garage, and if he's already in the car, he'll get out the car and he'll open my door unless I say, you know, I got it or something, you know, but he always opens my door. When we get to wherever we're going, I usually have to tell him, don't worry, I got it, and I'll get out the car myself. Other than that, otherwise, he will come around to the car. He will open my door. If the three of us are together and my son's in the car, who he's usually in the back seat, he'll open my door. You know, and I'm usually smiling to myself because I do like that. And that's, you know, hey, GP, welcome. You know, so is that too old school? What do y'all think? And Shorty said, no, it's not. And I have to say, y'all, I had to smile to myself when I went out with TQ last week. He pulled my chair out for me. And I smile, you know, and he asked me, was I okay? And was pushing my chair in for me. I mean, it, you know, those things like that, things that you notice, you know, should male and females, whether you're male or female, whatever, introduce your boyfriend or girlfriend, if it's progressed to that certain point, to your parents. Should your parents have to say, I want to meet him, bring him into the house, or bring her over. I want to meet her. There are some people who don't meet until the wedding. Some people don't meet until after the wedding. Some people don't meet at all. Is that disrespectful to your parents? Should your parents care? Should your parents insist on it? Should parents, you know, at the beginning of the school year, should you make a point of meeting your child's teacher? This is someone that your child's going to be with 7 hours, 8 hours a day. Should you insist on meeting your child's teacher or teachers? Is it too old school to show up to that parent teacher meeting? Is it too old school to show up to, you know, the I can't remember the name of it. What is it that the school has, the open houses? I was looking at a video on YouTube the other day, and there was the question was about American schools versus schools from around the world. And there was an Asian woman on there. And, you know, she said that American schools, they're all different. She says, but she was surprised at the amount of people or parents who are, actually she said families, that don't show up to an open house. Or if it's a parent-teacher meeting, the whole family's coming, the grandmother's coming, the grandfather, everybody's coming in to hear what that teacher has to say about that child. And she says here, it's just very surprising that very rarely if parents come, her as a teacher, that she was shocked. Now, Brina says, follow-up question, to tell me to kick my rocks if I'm being nosy, but how do you teach him that there's a fine line being a pushover and being chivalrous? I mean, I don't think there is that fine line. I mean, I think that, you know, when he's opening up the door, you know, I'll say, okay, if there's someone else that's coming in behind me, you can let one or two people in. Don't stand there and let like 20 people in. At some point, you have to interject yourself, whatever. And usually if it's another man, you know, you can let maybe one man go, or usually a guy will say, that's okay, I got it, whatever. I don't think that's being a pushover. I think that's pretty much, you know, the only way I can see the pushover thing is if it comes to opening up a door for someone and then everyone's just going in. Now, I've opened up doors for people where I'm like, you know, don't worry, don't go, you can go, whatever. And people will say thank you to me. Now, what pisses me off is when I open up the door for people, or I've seen my son or even my husband do it, and no one says thank you. You can't say thank you? Seriously? I'm the person who will say, you can't say thank you. My husband and my son, you know, they just look and shake their head, but they say that's just a lesson for them next time, which kind of sucks, because the person who you may not hold the door open for may be someone who needs you to hold the door open for, or will be polite and say thank you. You know, so it gets to the point where, hello, boss wife. You know, it gets to the point where other people can screw it up for someone else. You know, but I don't think that there's, I think that sometimes we get so hung up on not wanting our kids to be pushovers or whatever, that we still need to teach them to be courteous and just to be nice people. Because whether you're, excuse my French, whether you're a shit or not, there are always going to be people who you meet in this world, no matter how you are or how hard you try to be nice or how rude you are. There's always going to be some people who are always going to be nice and always going to be rude. A says it's not too old school. However, those things apply should be based on relationship and their expectations. My kids introduced me to their girlfriends, boyfriends without a second thought. They know I accept their choices whether I agree or not. But I don't think it's necessarily a choice thing, Ace. I think just out of respect for you, the parent, should children introduce their partners or their friends. I mean, I know people who have tried, some of my son's friends when he was younger, have tried to come into my house without speaking to me, or, and if my husband was on, without speaking to him. It was like, oh, no. Well, I'm coming to see so-and-so. No, okay, but this is my house. This isn't his house. This is my house. You will respect me and you will respect my husband. And they kind of look, but every single time they came back, hi, Mrs. So-and-so. Hi, Mr. So-and-so. And just like my son knew, when you go into someone else's house, that's what you do. And one thing that I can always say is whenever my son went someplace, even to this day, but when he was younger, he went someplace, I dropped him off and I picked him up. Never got a bad report. Always. Your son is always welcome back in our house. Your son is very courteous. He's very polite. That's not being a punk. That's not being a pushover. That's you showing respect when you're in someone else's house. Hey, Duke, welcome. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, again, I just go back to, is it, you know, being a pushover? And A says, I wish more parents did care to meet the teachers and have that relationship. We spend 8 hours with your kid and you don't want to have a rapport with us. Why? We should be a team. Yes, absolutely. I mean, there were times when I was like, oh my God, my mother's coming up to school again. But looking back on it and all those cringe moments that I had, I'm happy that she did. And talking to some of my friends and schoolmates, you know, over the years, when they talk about my parents going up to school, it was like, I wish my mother did that. I wish my father did that. And before my son was homeschooled, when I was constantly in the teacher's face, I mean, constantly, I was that parent that was like, oh my gosh, she's here again. Yeah, I was. But then it was like, I wish more parents were like you. Because there were some parents that just didn't care. And Brina says, anyone who spends a substantial amount of time with someone you love and care about should be a regular part of your life, if possible, in my opinion. I agree 100%. It's rude if you don't say thank you. GP says, I think people opened the door for me to check me out. Let's see, I'm kind of late in some of these marks. Okay, Duke says, that's what my grandmother told me as I was growing up. Brina says, it's such a good feeling to get a compliment from another parent or older person about your kids' manners. Absolutely, Brina, absolutely. Now, was my kid the perfect child when he got home? Nope. But he knew what he better do when he's out and about. Because the one thing that my husband told my son is, you're representing us. You're not just representing yourself. You're representing us. A says, oh, my friends, my kids' friends come over and find me immediately to say, hi, mom, and gab away before hanging out with my kid. Only one kid was intimidated by me at first. Now they call me mom too. These kids call me for input like I'm their friend. That's good. And Brina says, I swear I spend more time with one of my son's friends more than he does. He always likes Miss Sabrina. Did I tell you? And just go on and on. You know, so, and kind of cute. You know, I mean, you don't want to get in your kids' business, but you need to be in their business up to a point. You know, that yes, they do have to have their freedom as they get older, but you still, to me, have to teach them not just right and wrong, but what's polite, what's not polite. You know, so let me go back to, what do you all think about a male or female asking you for your child's hand in marriage? Is that too old school? I don't think so. I mean, whenever my son gets married, and Lord, please let me like this woman, whoever she may be. You know, I told my son I would like for you to, you know, when you meet her parents, that you talk to them about marriage, since you want to marry their daughter. A says, my friends have their freedom and their privacy, but they know the expectations and that I have a right to step into that privacy for safety and security reasons. Absolutely. What if she doesn't have a dad? I mean, that's fine. What about mom? What about grandma? I mean, I understand that if they don't have a dad or they don't, I mean, if they don't have parents, I get that. But I'm saying if they do, whoever their guardian is, I'm just saying GP, just out of respect. Just out of respect. See, A says, my baby sister just got engaged. She asked all of us for our permission, both the parents and all the siblings. See, I mean, I don't know about the sibling part, because I don't know if I care if my sister or not. But no, but I get it. I get it. This person is coming into your family. You may get along with them. You may not. You may only, you know, you may only have seen them for a couple of times and they move out the state or out of the country. What, I mean, I don't know. But just out of respect, I think that's good. Hey, crazy lady, welcome. Hey, Mr. B, welcome. And Adol Mitchell, Cecil, welcome. I apologize if I did not say your name correctly. Ace says he even checked with the nieces and nephews. I won't lie, he went above and beyond. But he included siblings because he knows how much she means to us. Okay. All right. And I don't see anything wrong with that. You know, some people may think that it's corny. You know, Shy Lady and I were on the phone this morning, and we were talking, and we were just talking about how if you look back at old photos, you know, from the 40s, 50s, and even 60s, of the way, you know, people would go out, how they would dress. Women wore gloves, you know. No matter what culture you were in, you were wearing gloves when you went out. And we were laughing at that. You know, because I remember, I don't know, when y'all were little, did y'all, and I'm talking to the girls here, did you all have to wear those, I couldn't stand them. They used to itch my legs to no end, those white lace tights. You know, did y'all ever have to wear those? You know, I hated them. And every time, you know, every Sunday we had to go to church, you know, and what it wasn't just tights. It was those lace tights because they would itch. You know, and I remember going to church and after I got off the phone with Shy Lady, I went back and I looked at I pulled out some of the photo albums. I'm looking, I'm kind of laughing because here's my sister and I, you know, 2.5 years apart. My mother thought we were twins. You know, dressing us alike, but we had on our hat and our gloves and all this other stuff, you know, and, you know, Charlene and we were just talking about how things have changed so much. But not just the way people dress, but does the way you dress affect your attitude? Uh-oh, Ace, sorry, I miss you there. Hold on, let me grab you. Okay, I got Shorty. Ace, hold on. Let me grab you again. There you go. So does dress affect your attitude? And what I mean by that is, if you're going over someone's house to meet their parents, are you going to dress the way you usually dress? You know, if it's more casual, whatever, are you going to spiff it up a little bit?
You got to spiff it up a little bit. Hello. Hi, everybody. You got to spiff it up a little bit.
And I'm just saying, but spiff it up a little bit just out of courtesy. Y'all understand where I'm going?
Yeah, I know what you mean. You can still be you, but in a way be respectful with it. You know what I mean? The first impression is always almost like the last impression when you come and meet the parents.
Right. And I just want to read what Brina says. She says, taking off those things felt just like letting out a tight ponytail. Pure relief, girl. Those tights. Oh, I just go. Oh, there is itch. Hello, Ace.
Hi. Look, I'm going to be honest with y'all. I ain't changing no different when I meet anybody's parents because I'm not going to put on a front that I cannot uphold. And that's just me. And I'm not saying for everybody it's a front, but I am a jeans and t-shirt all day, every day, or jeans and sweatpants. I mean, not jeans and sweatpants, t-shirt and sweatpants. I don't dress up. I feel so uncomfortable dressing up in any which way, shape, or form. Even putting on a dressier shirt for parent-teacher night, I feel beyond uncomfortable. And I don't like doing it because I'm putting on a front or a facade that I can't maintain around you. So me personally, you'll never catch me doing it.
Okay, so, hey, Chill, welcome, and Shy Lady, welcome. Shy Lady, I was sharing a little bit of our conversation this morning about old school and how people would dress. So, Ace, is it a front or, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, it's like, if you're someone who not, I'm not saying you are, I'm just saying anyone. I'm not saying that you can't afford it. You can afford to get a better shirt, whatever. If you're somebody who just goes around You just always have on a pair of torn jeans and a torn shirt, whatever, because that's just how you are. But in your wardrobe, you still have that nice pair of jeans. You have that nice shirt, whatever. And you go over to meet someone's parents for the first time. You're going to tell me that just because you're comfortable in that torn shirt and jeans, that's how you're going to show up to somebody's parents' house?
I mean, first of all, I don't wear torn shirts unless I cut the sleeves off of them.
Okay. But, all right.
No, honestly, every time I've ever met somebody's parents, it's been dressed just the way that I am and the way that I look at it. And this is not how I was raised. Don't get me wrong. It's not how my mom raised me. But over time, this is how I became. It's not necessarily going to be my clothes that ever impresses anybody. No matter what, I feel like my clothes, if I'm not comfortable, I am more likely to be that person that is going to stutter with my words because I've lost my confidence in myself. I'm not going to be cautious about what I say or how I say it. If I even speak at all, you'll be lucky if I even look you in the eye because I feel so uncomfortable. I would rather dress like me and be comfortable and wow you because you find out that the minute I open my mouth, I'm not the impression you had when you looked at me. I'm more eloquent with my words. I have no problem looking you in the eye because I'm comfortable, I'm confident. When I get uncomfortable, I lose all my confidence.
Okay. All right. So let me ask this then. Then as an educator, do you think that teachers should, not saying that they do, but I'm saying should, dress a certain way in front of their students?
I'm not going to say that they should dress a certain way, but there's a certain way you should not dress. I'll put it that way. I'm not going to play. I don't dress up every day for school. I did for the very first 2 weeks because I didn't know the expectations. I didn't know what teachers were required to wear if we had a certain outfit. Eventually learned everybody walks around in jeans and t-shirts, some of them in leggings. So now I wear jeans and t-shirts every day. I dress up for the purposes of Spirit Week and things like that. But there are things that I would never wear, which me personally, I'd never wear anyways, because it's just not me. But I would never, knowing that I am working with 6th graders, 7th graders, and 8th graders who are full of raging hormones that they don't know how to control. They're imbalanced. They are impulsive. I would never sit here and wear something so incredibly low cut that my cleavage is basically hitting my chin. Things like that. So there's things that I would be subconscious of that I know I should not wear. That teachers would have to take into consideration. What should you not wear based off your audience? But I'm not going to say that there's something in particular that they should wear either.
Okay, so do you think that teachers, whether you're a male teacher or female, whatever, whether you're kindergarten or 12th grade, do you think that the attire for teachers has gotten lax over the years? Hey, Power Girl.
It has, and I'm going to say that because I have a peer that when I tell you these kids talk so much smack behind her back because she is very well blessed in the front and in the back, and she wears all the clothes that hug her tightly in the appropriate places that would make anybody turn their heads. And now you've got 6th graders, 7th graders, and 8th graders drooling all over you. So absolutely, it's gotten more lax because we allow her to walk in the door wearing these leggings and this belly shirt. And that belly shirt, the cleavage cut line goes all the way down to where her bra would be. So you can see all how well endowed she is. And nobody has ever stopped her from walking in the door like that.
So do you think that if the school board or the principal, whatever, pull her over to the side or pull all the teachers over to the side and say, hey, you know, we have a dress code for teachers. You have to wear this. You have to wear that. You can't do this. You can't do that. Do you see an uproar? And are we going to have someone that says, I'm going to sue, whatever? Because, you know, at the same time as I question this teacher, you know, when you're getting dressed in the morning, like you said, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, those hormones are starting to kick in, whatever. At what point do you have common sense that this is not what you should wear? And me as a parent, I'm sorry. I don't want you teaching my child and you're looking like that. I'm sorry. I may be a prude, whatever, but no. I mean, I do believe that there is that line. There's not a fine line. There's that line, period.
I think that the principal's seen this and never said anything. If the school board came down and said, look, this is what we're requiring all of our teachers to wear, and it cut out the majority of what this lady wears. And she's not the only one. She's just the one that I happen to work with on my hallway. I do think that there would be people that would have a problem. There would people be that speak up. And it goes back to the fact that I'm a grown adult. Why are you telling me what I can and cannot do? And this is the mentality that they have. Most of the people that I work with that dress this way in particular are still very young adults. They haven't been in the workforce very much. They don't understand that there are still expectations that you have to abide by in a workforce. They feel that what they wear is appropriate.
Oh, okay. And so then let me ask this. Is there a dress code for your students at school?
Oh, our scholars actually have to wear uniforms.
Okay. So if I, you know, if I sent my kid to school without a uniform, just because how dare you tell me what my child should wear? But yet you're coming to work with, you know, your tight leggings and cleavage showing and, you know, whatever. What's the problem?
I couldn't even give you an argument on this because, first of all, our scholars don't always show up in uniform. They get awarded, they get rewarded for showing up and following the expectations. Absolutely. But I'd be lying if I said that even 90% of our scholars showed up in uniform. Are there repercussions for not showing up in uniform? Absolutely. But we step back and we have to assess the entire situation because I do work in a low income area. A lot of times it's because they can't afford it. And so we go about means of getting them uniforms or go about means of ensuring they at least have clean uniforms to put on because some of them can't even wash clothes.
Okay. All right. So Ace, Shalini, I knew you were going to agree with me on that. Okay, Ace. So let's say that you have the Obama girls are going to your school, and you know what their financial situation is like. You know that they can't afford to wear uniforms and stuff. But you know, one day Michelle said, "You know what? I'm sending my girls to school, and they're not going to have it. Everybody else's kids are not going to have it. You know, they're not going to have it." And I understand that there are people who cannot afford it. I totally get that. But at the same time, it's like, how do you give one person a pass but don't give the other person's passes? And I'm not even talking about the kids. But then again, like I said, I'm looking at these teachers and people coming with jeans and t-shirts and stuff like that. It's like, don't tell my kid to have to wear a uniform and whether they can financially do it or not. But the teachers are over here wearing jeans and t-shirts and leggings. I know.
I can honestly say that there are scholars that I know for a fact that can afford it. I'm not the person that I'm going to reprimand you over uniform. I'm just happy you're here. I'll give them grief every once in a while. That's just because of the relationship I have with them that I can tease them and be like, got out of dress and felt like looking like a pumpkin today, huh? Because that ain't the uniform, but you in all orange. And I'll tease them. But again, that's because I've established that relationship with them. But I'm not sitting here writing kids up like some people do left and right for not being in uniform. Because at the end of the day, no matter what, I try to remind them, you don't know what somebody else's situation is. So just because you think they're getting a free pass doesn't always mean they're getting a free pass. And it won't, these conversations usually aren't about clothes when I have this conversation with them. I was like, there are things that happen behind closed doors that you're not always going to be privy to, but I get why it looks that way to you. Okay. But I don't know. I wouldn't be comfortable with my kids going to school. The lady that I'm thinking of in particular that I work with, if my kids went to school and that was their teacher, I'd be like, so y'all just let her stand in front of my kids like this talking. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm glad that she's confident in herself and she, you know, feels comfortable wearing these things, but we're talking about I got middle schoolers. I have middle school kids of my own. And I wouldn't even dress like that in front of my middle schoolers. Jeans and a t-shirt does not bother me, but then again, as because I wear jeans and a t-shirt, I don't see a problem with jeans and a t-shirt. But I would see a problem if that t-shirt had certain graphics on it. Like if I'm literally walking around with a Jack Daniels t-shirt, clearly I should not be wearing that around the youth. Not if I am teaching them all day. I'm promoting alcohol while standing in front of a class.
Okay. All right. So I want everybody to chime in, but Shorty and Ace, you all are up on the panel. So I want to comment on what Shy Lady says. She says, I have a very shapely daughter who has to consider what she wears to work, even if she's covered from neck to knees. She doesn't want to wear real tight clothes because she doesn't want the distraction and look unprofessional. So let's go to the workplace. So it's usually women who, you know, get the catcalls and all this other stuff and, you know, googly eyed, and they're usually the ones calling to the boss's office or HR, you know, you can't wear this and you can't wear that. Is there a fine line when you go to work? If you're in an office building, or you're in, let's go from the classroom, just, you know, just to work, period, wherever you may work, should you consider what you're wearing? If you work in an office building, if you are the receptionist, you know, should you, you know, sit there and you're greeting people, you know, if you're at a dental office or something, should you have on a really tight, you know, those, you know, the what do you call the clothes that they wear, the dental, scrubs, you know, yeah, all I mean, that, you that know, so, so, I mean, so should, you know, so should you, I mean, if, you know, and then again, if you're, you know, working for an attorney and, you know, yes, you are wearing a skirt or nice pair of pants, whatever, but should they be super tight? You know, should the, you know, shirt be super tight or the dress? And then if you're a man, you know, should you be going around, you know, with your shirt up button? And you, I mean, I'm just saying, have we just gotten to the point in society where, for the most part, the dress code just doesn't matter anymore?
The dress code
doesn't matter. It goes back to expectations.
Right.
No, it's not even that the dress code doesn't matter, because you have to think about it. It's all about expectations. I have a sister who's a lawyer, and I assure you that she's dressing the way that you would presume a female lawyer should be dressed. But those expectations were established and enforced at her place of employment. But it's not even just employment purposes. It's, we do the same thing. We chastise people, and like you said, it usually gets towards the female population, and we started at a very young age, and it's gotten to the point where my child can go to school wearing a tank top that is 3 inches thick and be considered appropriate, because my youngest child is not developed. Whereas my oldest child, let her go to school with a tank top that's 3 inches appropriate and at per their guidelines. And she will be chastised as being inappropriate because she is developed. And we start the chastising at a young age, but we stopped enforcing it in the workplace because of the need for employees. There are guidelines set, there are expectations. Jobs tell you what is considered uniform appropriate.
Okay. All right. So let me ask this, and Duke, I'm coming to you in 1 moment. So let me ask this then. If you are in a workplace, and you're going for that job now, and Ace, I'm thinking about what you said about you're going to be you. You are going for that job as, you know, paralegal, or as that attorney or that receptionist in that law office, are you going to show up in your jeans and t-shirt because you're comfortable? Or are you going to show up and you know what's appropriate for that interview?
I already know what's appropriate for that workplace, and I dress appropriately for that interview.
Okay. All right. Duke, welcome.
Hello, Solid, and everyone that's currently listening. I want to say thank you for allowing me to speak.
No problem.
First and foremost, as most of us say, first impressions mean everything. And so with me being a male, like, you know, as a man, the first impression is everything to us. And I remember a while back, we had a conversation about dress and first impressions. And so I'm here with a female friend of mine, and she has a son, and her son has to wear, going to school, he has to wear a specific type of outfit. And so I've come to tell him, like, you know, just, you know, be mindful that, you know, you gotta look, being that you have to go to these places looking this way, just go ahead on and look apart so that no one has anything to say to you. You know what I mean? And he himself is not saying he's finding it difficult to grasp the understanding of looking neat and looking presentable. So I remember I was telling him, you know, tuck your shirt in. And I told him, I was like, you know, what helped me was I had a gentleman tell me to, you know, unzip my front zipper and tuck my shirt in all the way around so that when I put my dress coat on, there it doesn't look like I have a whole lump or look like a mushroom because my shirt isn't tucked all the way in. And so for him to grasp that understanding at 12, it's like, well, I don't care what I look like. You know what I mean? I shouldn't have to wear this. I'm like, yeah, you may not want to wear it, but you have to, because let's say you go out into the workplace and this is how you have to dress. Are you going to just, you know, dress any kind of way? And so he's like, well, not necessarily. So I told him, I was like, well, take now to go ahead and get in the habit of dressing a certain way. And as A said, it is an expectation, because if he doesn't wear a proper attire, he'll get maybe a detention or be sent home because he doesn't have those things ready. And you know, I'm not a parent, but I am a guardian. And so to see, you know, someone grow up having to do that, like, it also puts me in the habit of like, well, I don't want to walk outside looking any kind of way. And I don't want to set that bad example of, you know, saggy pants, you know, big old shirt and all those things, because it doesn't, as a man, set a good example for the younger generation to see, you know, my underwear. That's not okay. And I'm be honest, like, I'm not the type that walks around outside like that in general, but I still have that expectation that when I walk outside, I want people to look at me a certain way. I want people to, you know, not just, oh, well, he looked like he a thug. No, I'm not a thug. I wear what's comfortable for me.
So, I have so many questions for you, Duke. But first, I'm gonna go to Ace because I want to read what she said. First impressions mean so much, and oftentimes they should be taken with a grain of salt. We are humans, and we all have bad days. But that bad day could be held against me because it was your first impression of me. She says, cough, crazy cough. And I am laughing at that because I know what you're talking about. And yes, crazy. I mean, Ace, now you have me calling you crazy. Ace, we do have bad days. And unfortunately, first impressions are what people see. But if you know that you're going someplace that you absolutely know is important, and if it's that job interview and we had this conversation before, you know, it's like, I'm going to have a hard time hiring somebody who shows up looking a certain way. I'm sorry. And call me a snob, whatever, but I just am. And Ace says, I can't tell you how many times I tell my male scholars, pull up those pants. I don't want to see your underwear. Yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, so unfortunately, first impressions are what we see, because first impressions are the only thing that we can go by, because that first impression could be that red flag. That first impression, yes, you could have a bad day. And I do believe that a lot of people would say, at least I would, you know, I'm sorry, I'm having a bad day. You know, traffic was really bad. My dog got out, my kids, you know, spilled everything at breakfast or whatever. And, you know, we have bad days. I get it. But there are some people who just show up, you know, and you know, so Duke.
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Why do you have to breathe like that?
Because I'm not going to say, and I know people who are in that space are going to know what I'm, yeah, Ace, I had to say the space thing. Mm-hmm. people who are in that space, you know, I'm just thinking about conversations that we've had in the past with other people who are in the space, you know, whatever. And I'm listening to what you're saying. And yes, I'm sorry, it's the space. I'm just listening to what you're saying. And does that apply for everything? Everything that you said, does it apply for not just children, but for adults too? Does it apply, you know, the way you look at things and how you perform your job and how you go to school and how you dress and things like that? Does that carry over into everything?
I can answer this question like this. I had an older brother. Who set the example. And so, like, off rip, I already know I don't want to look like that. Because me and my brother aren't that much of a difference. He would walk around with his baggy pants on, and I won't wear that. Like, I just don't. And so, like, I do have a standard about myself. You know what I mean? Like, I really do. And it's like, yo, like, well,
when
it comes to work, like, even down to that, like, there's a certain standard I have about myself. I don't care about what, like, just like, it's like, if I have to, you know, look a certain way, like, it really does bring my confidence down a way, because I have to appease to this specific way of living. And it's like, that might not be for everybody. So we got to look at people and be like, you know what? All right, that's just how that's how you move. But like, nevertheless, like, people, everybody's different. Everybody
sees the world
in a different light. So what really is making me kind of, I would say, grow up in a sense, is the person that I'm around. Like, they're demanding me to be a better version of myself. And not just, you know, like, when it comes to my podcast, there were a conversation that took place on my podcast, and that person's like, you know what, I really don't like that type of talk. And I'm just like, but it's a podcast though. And they're like, you're not really getting it. And I'm like, well, let me kind of be more mindful of conversations that I'm having with people, conversations that I'm around, because this person's like, well, I'm trying to grow and be the better, you know, I'm trying to grow and be more spiritual-like. And I'm like, I get that. So that puts me in a place where, you know, the person's son would technically be modeling me. So it's like, am I setting a good example for someone that would look at me as a model and say, you know what, that person, right, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be in the place I'm in today. And so, like, you really help me out a lot. You really do. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me look at some of these kind. Okay. Did I catch up? Yes. Ace, you want to say something?
Oh, no. I just noticed that you look like you might have needed some assistance, so I was going to chime in. So this is not a space.
No. I was looking at because my screen always jumps, so I have to go back and look to see, did I read those, whatever. So, I mean, but, you know, I mean, I have to wait for Duke to come back, because I have some more questions for him.
Well, while we're waiting on him, all I gotta say is expectations have dwindled over the years, and I don't know if it's because of the rebellious nature as the generations progress, and the desire and need to be able to express yourself and be yourself versus be in this box. But that's where the biggest problem lies, is the expectation. So even my mom raised me. You dressed a certain way for a job. She was anti-piercings and tattoos. But even I knew that piercings were to come out for job interviews and things like that. I don't even wear all my piercings at school. I only have a few that I keep in. And honestly, it wouldn't faze me to take them out. I knew at jobs that I don't show up with the piercings in for interviews. And then I would find out their policy on them before I ever thought about placing any in and move forward from there. Most jobs for the longest time were against any piercing. So my piercings stayed out. And I'd only put them in like on my off days. And then more jobs started to come a little bit more lax, which is what has allowed me to be like, okay, well, I'll show up to the interview with one nose piercing in only, and we'll go from there. At my job right now as a teacher, I found out at this particular place, they have no policy on piercings. I could have every single facial piercing in. But me being me and the way that I was raised and the expectations and what I thought people would think, because that first impression of seeing my face, you're going to have all these questions. And let's be real, the stigma around piercings and tattoos isn't always a positive one. I refuse to put them all in. And I've had my scholars ask, why won't I put them in? Can I put them in? Can they see them? You know, one day you need to just put them in so we can see them. And I'm like, no, I refuse. Like, I refuse to walk in this door covered in all my piercings and scare you guys. I was like, it wasn't worth it. I would rather not give you guys that impression. We won't be scared. I was like, you won't now because you know me. I was like, but the first day of school, had I walked in with all this metal in my face, you and your parents would have been like, what in the world did I just walk into? I'm not going to do it.
So, okay. So let me ask this. And again, we're going from school to the workplace. So let's go to the public workplace. And I'm talking about on the media. So, because Duke brought up, you know, on his podcast, you know, he said it is a podcast, whatever. So on podcasts, we have heard people, they will say some of everything. They will, you know, this is, you know, they will go there. You know, some people language, some people curse a lot. Some people don't. Some people use racial slurs. Some people don't, you know, whatever. And all in all, it's your show. You can do whatever you want. So would that be acceptable if you turned on your local news one day and the two anchor people are cursing at each other, or somebody's calling somebody a, you know, racial slur or something like that? Is that appropriate? And if you say no, why is it not appropriate there? But it's but it's okay if you're on a podcast. Why is it okay that you can curse on cable, but you're not cursing on network TV? I'm just asking.
Okay, part of it goes back to FCC regulations, regardless, no matter what, because they have their regulations that are in place for public broadcasting on the air for TV, this, that, and the other. So you already know there's guidelines they have to follow. But even then, over the years, if you look, even when they finally started even letting women be on TV and be news anchors and this, that, and the other, there was always expectations that, you know, even though you don't work at a news broadcasting station, you know they have certain expectations, certain guidelines, procedures, so forth and so on, that require their employees to dress a certain way. They go to school to learn how to talk a certain way. If you listen to a news anchor during a regular conversation versus the way they talk on the news channel, you can tell that they are technically two separate entities.
Oh, true.
They learn how to say their words. They learn a certain way in which to do their dialect and everything. And then you catch them on a home video for Facebook or Instagram or TikTok, and they sound completely different because it's their own personal account. So the expectations are set and have been set, and they very rarely ever strayed away from them. Like I said, even when they let females start doing all of this, they still didn't really stray away from the expectations of what they wanted in a news station and how it had to look and how it had to be presented. And because they wanted to make sure that the neutral standards were there no matter what, whether they decided to swing towards the left in their news or swing towards the right in their news.
But you also have regular TV shows where you know, it blows my mind, and y'all know how I feel about the word bitch, you know. So it amazes me that, you know, on TV shows that they can say that word, but that they're bleeping out the F-bomb or something.
And so go back to the FCC regulations. FCC finally let the word, the as you said, you hate it, so, but you said it's so almost.
Yeah, yeah, no, go ahead.
The FCC allows you to start saying bitch on the air for whatever reason. And I don't know, I'd have to research to find out what sparked them to finally change that policy. But for a long time, you couldn't have that. It was bleeped out in TV. It was bleeped out in your radio. It was bleeped out in music, unless you went and bought the unrated and unedited version. And that's how they always had it. And now they're still, like you said, but they do still bleep out the F-bomb and certain other words. Just like you can turn on the TV show and you can see a woman's breast, but you will never see her vagina. You can see a butt on TV, but you'll never see the dick or the vagina because they bleep it out unless they give it a certain rating. And even then, once they hit that certain rating, if they show you anything, they have a, quote, what they consider a modest way of showing it so that it isn't, I guess you can say, pushing too many boundaries, because it still has to fall within the FCC guidelines. And they're the ones that dictate what is appropriate and what is inappropriate for TV. And their standards only change when they get so much push from the majority to make any kind of change.
So was that push not happening back in the 50s, back in, or, you know, back in the 30s when radio came out, or even before radio and all this other stuff? I mean, wasn't the push still there? Weren't people still saying, well, you know, why can't I wear this? Why when women were going out to the beach, they were literally going out in a suit, because, you know, with the hat on and all this other stuff, because showing all that skin like they are now, it's like, oh my God, you know? So, you know, are we pushing too much? Is there too much of a push that we do need to dial it back? We need to go old school and we need to do things a certain way.
And that would be more of a social construct thing and what we believed was appropriate at the time. So what we believed was appropriate in the 30s was not what we considered the same in the 80s, the 50s and the 90s. Everything changes as society progresses. The social standards change, and the social standards change based off of the majority. Doesn't mean that the push isn't there, but the push starts off small. It doesn't make a difference until that push becomes a larger impact. It took forever for women to be able to show their stomachs in public. It took forever for women to be able to show their legs in public because it wasn't considered a social norm. And if it wasn't for the people that constantly pushed the social norm and fought for something, we would still be standing here with skirts required to be at our ankles at all times. We would be required to have long sleeves, even in the 110 degree weather. It wouldn't matter. But that social construct only changes with the push. Doesn't mean that all the push is going to be good. You're always going to have bad to outweigh the good. But at what point in time do you stop and put your hands up and say, you know what, society needs a change, because without the changes, no other good can come.
Okay. All right. And Jill, no, I'm not saying take away a person's freedom. That is not what I'm saying. No, Jill, that is not what I'm saying. But personally, what I will say is, you show up to me at, you want a job with me, even though I'm a small business owner, I will not hire you if you dress a certain way. You come on my podcast and you can have all the freedoms you want, but you will not come into my house, and my podcast is my house, talking a certain way, saying certain things, using certain words. You're not going to do it. I will not allow you to do it. So if you say that that's me taking away your freedom, go ahead. But there are certain things that for me, I will not allow. And I think that society as a whole, I think it's ridiculous that you listen to music and you're calling a woman a bitch and a hoe. If that's what you choose to do, if that's the type of music you choose to make, you go right ahead. If that's the music that you want to buy, you go right ahead. Me, I choose not to be in that space when people are playing that type of music. I will leave. I mean, I won't say, oh my God, you're playing this. No, I will usually just leave, just quietly leave, or say, everyone have a good evening, and I'm gone. It's not a big deal. But for me, I personally have a problem with it. So no, I'm not, you know, if this is what you want, then that's fine. I'm just saying for me, I just think that society has just gotten a little bit too much. You know, we don't want, see, now I'm getting into a whole different subject, but, you know, we don't want people, certain people calling us the N word, but we're saying it to each other. I think that's disgusting. But that's me. You won't come on my show saying that. I will block you. I don't care how long you've been on my show, whatever. I'm not playing that. So no, I'm not trying to police, you know, whatever. You know, you can have as much freedom as you want, but I do believe there's a limit, and I do believe some people just push it just a little bit too far just to see how far they can go. So you disagree with me, you agree with me, Ace, Shorty. Shorty's been quiet. She's been listening. So Charlie said, I know some people because I grew up not hearing a female adult refer to this. It sounds weird to me because I'm not accustomed to it. Oh, okay.
I think it goes back to, like you said, okay. People like to say it's always, you're impending on my freedom of speech, this, that, or the other. First of all, your freedom of speech protects you from the government, not from me. So let's get that straight. And it goes back to the fact that most people are no longer understanding the concept of a modicum of respect, or they have this overwhelming feeling of self-entitlement, which I'm noticing a lot in the younger generation. No offense to my scholars, I love them to death, but they always feel so entitled. And with that, they're forgetting that there are boundaries. So you can have your freedom of speech. You can listen to what you want to. You can express yourself the way you want to. But it does not mean that in my space, in my bubble, that I have to tolerate it or I have to withstand it. It goes back to something as simple as, like you said, the N-word. People say it all day long, but it doesn't mean I have to accept it and be around it. I can remove myself from that situation. And if you don't feel that I have a right to remove myself from the situation, then clearly we have a different understanding of what a personal space is. And we definitely have a different understanding of what respect is. It, no matter what, society is going to keep progressing forward. They're going to, in a sense, push away the old ways to make way for the new ones. Doesn't mean that we can't hold on to certain things, as you guys were saying earlier in the show, that we're considered chivalrous. Like, people love to say that chivalry is dead. It's really not. It's just that people are so focused on the way they want things to be and they want to be able to do things that they don't realize there are still people out there that hold on to things that are deemed chivalrous and respectful. Like you said, opening doors for people and expecting a thank you. I hate when I open the door and somebody can't even say thank you. Like, bruh, I'm standing out here in the cold for nothing. I didn't have to hold the door open. Something as simple as, like you said, TQ pulling out the chair for you. All that stuff is things that are nice to hold on to, and people don't realize that people still do it because you want to act a certain way and be a part of all these new age things that you put on this expectation that you don't need that. So why is somebody going to give it to you? Which is why I said earlier in the show that when you were talking specifically about relationships, it really depends on that relationship and their expectations. Do I expect to go out with somebody and they want to take my hand in marriage and they go talk to my parents first? No, I don't expect it because I don't have that relationship with my parents. And because I don't have that relationship with my parents, I wouldn't expect them to do that. Would I like for it to happen? Absolutely. Do I think my parents will open arms for them? Hell no. But it was great to see that happen for my little sister. My little sister has that relationship with our parents. Seeing him have that conversation with my parents before asking her doesn't mean that they didn't have conversation about it first. So it's not like he completely blindsided her, but he did. He asked my parents for her hand in marriage first out of respect because he wanted the family to know that he's not taking their daughter away from them, but that he wants to be included as part of it just as much as he wants her to be included in her family. I mean, in his family, just like he went, like I said, above and beyond. And he talked to all of us sisters first because he knows how protective we are of our baby sister. And I told him, you didn't need to ask me, but I greatly appreciate it. I was like, honestly, and I'm going to just say his name because it's not like anybody knows him. I told him, I was like, honestly, Josh, I was like, you're already a part of the family. I was like, my kids look at you already like you're their uncle. They love you to pieces. I already look at you like you're my brother. I was like, I wouldn't expect anything less than for you to marry my sister and make her happy. And if that's what you guys want, I support it wholeheartedly. I will never stand in the way. So he went through all of us and then created a group text with all of us so that we could be a part of arranging the surprise. And it was nice to see, but I also know that that's not common because a lot of people have lost that expectation. But if you don't have that conversation with your partner that, hey, I expect that you would still pull chairs out for me. I expect that you would open doors for me. I expect that if we decide to progress this further, that you're going to actually meet my family. I want you to meet my family. If you don't have that conversation about, hey, if we ever get married, you know, it would be nice if you did that whole ask my mom and dad. I'm not saying they're going to approve, but it would be nice to know that you felt so connected to me and my family that you at least wanted to have their permission, whether they give it or not, that you wanted to try. If you don't have those conversations, you can't expect it.
But Ace, that's what I'm talking about. It comes down to the expectation. And I'm, you know, not just about, you know, asking, you know, for your daughter or son's hand in marriage, if you're the woman that's going to propose, or, you know, same sex, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter. You know, just the expectation, you know, I taught my son open doors, to open car doors, you know, pull out chairs. You know, my husband doesn't have to open my car door, but he does it unless I say, don't worry about it. Some people may think that that's old fashioned and silly, whatever, but again, there's that expectation. And I'm not gonna lie to y'all, when TQ did it for me, I smiled, I told him, thank you, you know, whatever. And it, you know, I appreciated it so much. You know, he said, that's how I was raised. You know, so for some people, they may think, you know, that it's silly, you know, I'm not doing that, whatever. But for the other person that you're doing it to, it meant something. And I already had a high opinion of him anyway. It's just gone up even more. You know, so I'm not saying about personal freedoms or anything like that. Hey, Tick Radio, welcome. I'm not, you know, saying anything, trying to take away your personal freedoms. I guess what Ace, the way you said it, it comes down to expectations. And I think the expectations in society have really, really dwindled. And I know that a lot of people went through a lot of things for us to have certain things, and we're kind of just throwing them out the window. So, but anyway, that's it for me. I don't have a particular song that I downloaded, but I'm going to play something that actually, Ace, you made me think of this song, and since it's in my playlist, I'm going to go ahead and play it again. Ace, Shorty, Ace, I'm going to start with you. Do you have any last words of wisdom you want to leave with everybody?
Don't be afraid of change. Embrace it. But that doesn't mean you can't be authentically you at all times.
Okay. And Ace, I'm just tickled that you were able to come on at the beginning and you had your snow day. I'm glad you were in my space. And yes, you were in my space. In some space. Hey, Tinga. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to be saying this in the entire week. On Friendly Differences on Saturday, we're having we've decided that at the end of each month, we are going to have a fun show. So Saturday is going to be our fun show. We don't really have a topic. So if y'all say something between here and now, I may use that on the show.
Okay. Don't speak, y'all. Y'all heard it. Don't speak. You heard it from me. I promise. It will come up.
And I am not forgetting about the tattoos, Ace. I haven't had time to do it, but they are sitting here, and I am going to do it. But we are going to have a fun show, because that last show that some of you guys were part of, it just made me laugh so hard, and we just had a lot of fun. So anyway, Shorty, you have any last words in the space?
Don't say it, Shorty. Whatever you don't say it.
Shorty, don't be afraid to speak. Is Shorty on, and she get a phone call?
Oh no, she something happened, and she got.
Oh, that's right. She said that's right. Her mic. Okay, all right. y'all don't be afraid to say anything. I'm not gonna use it against you. I may use it, but I won't use it against you.
she right about that. She'll say somebody in this space, and then she'll go, Ace was in that space.
Well, she because knows. You were in the space. You were in the space, but you may not have said it, but you were in the, and then again, Ace. Ace in space, you know, y'all, Ace in space, you know, that does rhyme, but I will not out you. I don't out you. I usually let people out themselves. So, right. Oh, hold on. I can completely forget. Hold on. Let me, Shorty, I'm sorry. Hold on. Shorty, you should be able to say something now. There we go. I completely forgot that I always put my calls off when I'm about to go off. Go ahead, Shorty.
Just have fun, everybody. That's it. Just have fun.
You know, that's such a safe comment to make.
Listen, you don't want me to say what I really want to say. You know what I
mean? Well, go ahead and say it.
No, don't
do it. Go ahead, say it. Say it. Go ahead, Shorty. Say it.
Face, don't do it.
I know. Ace.
Go ahead, really? Shorty. Go ahead.
No, I'm good.
You know what? You know what, Shorty? You know, I've been listening to this about be yourself, and yeah, I'm gonna show up here and all this other stuff, and now you can't even say what you were gonna say. So go ahead and say what you want to say.
Just be yourself.
You really want me to be myself right now?
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Listen. Go ahead, Shorty.
Listen. This is a new year. Fuck it. 2024.
Okay. All right.
Be yourself. Do you? You understand what I'm saying? Don't change for no bitch. It is what it. There you go. I be myself.
All right. All right. Okay. I said to say it, and you said it. So I'm gonna see how I can work that in. Nice. I'm gonna see how I can work that in on Saturday. But anyway,
you see what I'm talking about?
And Ace, I am extending an invitation to you. If you would like to join our panel like you did before, I would love for you to join our panel. You are always more than welcome. And Miss Kimberly Michael is also going to join our panel. So, yeah.
Oh, and Sally, if you know a bald-headed cockroach, spray
them. Oh, here we go. Make sure they're in a tie.
Okay. All right. So, y'all, I already know. Okay. So, I already have some of my script for Saturday. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Well, here we go.
I might need your technical your expertise on Saturday. So, anyway. All right, y'all. I am going to leave everyone with Barry White, Just the Way You Are.
I never take anything for granted. Only a fool maybe takes things for granted. Just because it's here today, it can be gone tomorrow. And that's one thing that you'll never in your life ever have to worry about me. If I'll ever change towards you, because baby, I love you. Girl, I love you. Just the way you are. I would not leave you
this far, no love. I took the good times, I'll take the bad times, I'll take you just the way you are. Don't go trying some new fashion. Don't change the color of your hair. Hey there, you always have my unspoken passion. Although I might not seem to care, I don't want clever conversation. Don't want to work that hard, no love. I just want someone to talk to. I want you just the way you are. I need to know that you will always be the same old someone that I do. What will it take till you believe in me the way I believe in you? Yeah, I said I love you, that's forever. This I promise from my heart, oh Lord. I could not love you any better, yeah. I love you just the way you are. I don't want to work that hard, no love. I just want someone to talk to. I want you just the way you are. I want you the way.
Okay, everybody, that's it. I will see you guys tomorrow. So have a good day and evening wherever you are in the world. And Ace and Shorty, thank you so much for popping up on the panel. And everyone else, thank you so much for joining in the conversation and liking the show. Much appreciated. Bye.